Mini episode 1868 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to FDH Lounge mini episode 1868. This is FDH Managing Partner Rick Morris coming at you with one of our favorite FDH Lounge dignitaries, Russ Cullen, the first of our dignitaries to join after the original dignitaries back in 2007, proprietor of the great Sportsology site and now 11-time author. And since we're
might
talking
be 12, we're here, mulling over something new.
Really? Okay. Well, on the 11th one that just came out, that's a hockey book, so definitely hit that.
Yep, Game Winners. Yep.
Okay, Game Winners, and that is what, 50 game winners from hockey
50
history?
Best game winners of all time, not including like the Summit Series. It's Olympics and NHL.
Olympics and NHL, okay. All right, and that is definitely a book worth checking out. And as we're here today for our 2025-2026 NHL season preview, traditionally we go through these things division by division, and just on a macro level, you and I talked about this off air. I mean, there are a handful of notable things that happened around the league, particularly with some of the marquee franchises. But it just strikes me, just again, from that macro perspective, that there seems to be a tremendous amount of continuity from one season to the next, from my eyes.
For the most part. But, you know, injuries could be the great equalizer. And right now the Florida Panthers are going through it because they're without Matthew Tkachuk, and now they just lost their captain, Sasha Barkov, to knee surgery. So this is before the season ever begins. This is like, you know, months after they lifted the Stanley Cup again. So that's a pretty big deal. Like, again, it's a long season, and I'm sure Barkov's coming back, you know, in a few months. I don't know to what degree. Nobody does. Maybe it could even be as severe as 4 months, but he'll be back. Tkachuk will be back right before the Olympics, I'm sure, and then play after. But they kind of have to, you know, stay alive until then. And the Atlantic is tough. Like, the Atlantic's the toughest division in hockey. So that's something where I think it does change the landscape a little, because if nothing else, it means the Florida Panthers are not going to win the division. Somebody else is going to win the division. Not that they won it last year, they didn't, and most years they don't. But if anybody thought they were going to win it this year, they're not going to.
And again, as they've shown, it may not be necessary to win it in order for that to happen. And again, you look at the time that Tkachuk missed.
But they did win it by a point last year. My bad. Oh, no, that's. Oh. No. I had the wrong year up. Okay. No, I was right. They didn't win it. They were in third place.
Okay. Yeah. And that's, yeah. That's, and it, in terms of what you saw last year, I mean, I'm not going to say that it's necessarily a plus for them that this happened, but you had the injury with Tkachuk. And again, he seemed, once he got his legs underneath him, he seemed a little fresher during the playoffs. I'm not necessarily going to compare this to my boy, Sergei Fedorov, in 98. That was a case of not signing until midseason.
Right.
But there is something to be said for, and in the case of Fedorov, there was an advantage where he wasn't coming off an injury. So it's like the minute you get into hockey shape, then, you know, it's nothing but a plus. In the case of Tkachuk, you have to rehab. Yeah, exactly. So you have to rehab, you have to whatever. But this is one of those things where if you're looking at it for like what they're going to be like in April, May, and June, there's nothing about these injuries whatsoever that suggests to me right now that this is seriously going to hinder them when it counts the most.
Right. I mean, sure. But again, the issue is, so last year they were in third place, they had 98 points. The Lightning had 102 in second, and the Leafs had 108. It could go that way again. Maybe the Senators, instead of 98, they get 100. You know, but yeah, essentially they'll be in there somewhere. But listen, if they get off to a bad start, they, you know, like any other team, you could have a bad year. We don't expect that, but they could. Now, they do have a fair amount of depth, but they're not the deepest team. And they don't have the best rookie base because they've traded some of them and traded picks and such. So, Yeah, I mean, you know, we're going to have to see. We're going to have to see if some young guys could step up for them, and guys who have been playing for a few years have been on the cup run but maybe not played a lot, like Mackie Semiskevich, guys like that, and we'll see if that matters. Knowing the way Florida is coached, you know, I expect them to make it, but what if they're the last wild card spot? Then that does open up possibilities for other teams.
It does, and that's one of those things where I look at it like maybe they might have had some kind of sense that something might have been coming with their star players. But when they give that shocking contract extension in the early part of the offseason to Brad Marchand, basically to where they'll be paying him until he's in assisted living. They're going to be leaning on him a lot.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Brad Marchand is going to be a key contributor now. No question. I mean, this Barkov injury came in practice, I believe. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So, no, this is a big deal. But, you know, again, we'll see. I mean, you know, the Leafs are still going to be really good. They still could win the division. They're without Mitch Marner, but, you know, I'll give a spoiler here. I did another show, and I feel like even though they don't have Marner, I know they're going to use Domi or somebody like that. I still feel like Auston Matthews now being healthy this year, because he wasn't last year, is going to step up. And I've seen him play outside of the Leafs, and I've seen him play with a lot of different people, and he makes them all better. So it's not going to shock me if he has one of his best years with a different line mate. I know there are people that think, well, he can't do it the same way without Mitch Marner, but I say the great ones can, and the great ones figure it out, and I think he is one of those great ones. So I think he will figure it out.
I think that'll be the case also. Of course, you've got Tampa Bay in here as well. One half of one of the strangest dynamics that we've seen in recent history of sports, which is the state of Florida dynasty that there has been between Tampa and Florida, 4 Stanley Cups and 2 conference titles between them over the course of the last 6 years. Now you've got Tampa, the 3 years previous to Florida's 3-year run.
Miami Hurricanes. I don't know how many years they won in a row. I have no idea.
I don't think they ever won in a row.
So never in a row? They must have won like 2 out of 3, 3 out of 4. It had to be something like
that. They had a run kind of like that. My Fish famously back in the 70s here, 72-73, the perfect team. And only that doggone World Football League, which this is all.
Did you even watch the perfect team? Like I did.
No, I was. That was before my time.
Right, okay. But I watched them. So how dare you talk about them and throw them in my face? I watched all those players. I could tell you all about those players that I hated.
You gonna tell me how lucky that team was?
No, they were a machine. No.
And they had to play road games in the playoffs because the NFL had this stupid thing of like this year, this division has home field.
They were a machine, man. They had players in every position. Yep. There were guys that were role players that just did exactly what they needed to do.
Yep.
No, they were a machine.
Yeah. And not since the days of that team, you know. Now we have the Florida Panthers doing what they've done, but Florida, Tampa Bay, like you said, Toronto should be very much.
Yeah,
in
Tampa.
The mix
here. I think it's on the strength of Vasilevsky. I mean, you know, as we know, Hedman's getting older. They do have a good team. I don't know if they have a great team. Last year, I thought they were better than they were. Mm-hmm. They did fade in the playoffs, so we're gonna have to see how Vasilevsky looks. That, you know, that back was not great last year, from what I could tell. So he's gonna have to dial it back to like a couple of years ago, 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah, and something that you and I have talked about both off-air, and then I wrote a piece for it, and as I'm looking at my picks for this year from Fantasy Hockey Draftology 2025, you can find it still available on the main page at fantasydrafthelp.com, that Nikita Kucherov is not exactly unique among the megastars of today, but there is a dynamic in the league that is different than what we've seen through the course of the history of the game, where many of the best players in there, of course, not all of them are bereft of championships, but the two fellas in Edmonton and some of the big stars from Toronto in recent years, Mitch Marner, may get a chance to flip the script on that. We'll get to that later in the show. But as far as, again, Kucherov is not exactly unique in this regard, but he is one of the top players or one of the few players who is a signature player in this generation that has championship experience. And again, multiple championships at that. So that's what separates him, you know, in that regard from MacKinnon. MacKinnon's got a title as well and got it at his expense. But Kucherov, as of right now, he doesn't, I wouldn't say he necessarily stands alone among the great forwards of this generation. But in that regard, he's at least pretty close.
Yeah, I mean, I still would take MacKinnon over him, because he plays the center position, but it's a fair point that Kucherov is just in like a different stratosphere for other wingers. I think that's fair to say.
Yeah, he really is. And in looking at this division in the Atlantic here, if they are to get four playoff teams in here, I look at this, you knew we'd get to this at some point here as a Wings fan. I have to say, at this stage of their development, neither Ottawa nor Montreal particularly intimidates me. Buffalo and Boston, not at all with where they're at right
now. Wait, Ottawa doesn't? Like, Ottawa's really good.
They're like, but I mean, like, they are good. And I see them at least being on the cusp. But like, am I shaking in my boots at the sight of them? I'm not. Are you telling me I should be?
Yeah, I think.
Okay.
Because I think with Ottawa, look, I mean, Tim Stützle, I think secretly or quietly, is close to being a superstar in this league. I mean, he had 79 points last year, so it's almost a point a game. He's only 23. I still think there's another little gear that he's going to hit. So we talk about Stützle, that's fine. Drake Batherson had a career year, 68 points. Now he has a UBI, so the start of the season's in question for him. Jake Sanderson is going to be close to a superstar defenseman. He already had 57 points last year, and he's 23. So the theme of this, Rick, is, and Claude Giroux, who's seemingly 100 years old, could still play, and he had 50 points. Shane Pinto, you know, I think we'll have more. They have a lot of young guys. You know, Dylan Cousins could still be poised for a big year. They have a lot of young guys. He's 24. So these are guys that are like a year or two or three ahead of what are some of the Detroit guys are, and they have Linus Allmark, who has won a Vezina. Now, John Gibson is your hope, but I don't know. I don't know if their defense is good enough on the Red Wings. I still don't know if, like, their bottom six has enough scoring. I would take Ottawa and Montreal both over Detroit, sadly.
Interesting. Well, if we're looking at the top of the call sheet here, as it were, everything you said about Stützle, I'll grant you. Is that different in any way, shape, or form from what we could say about my guy, Luke Raymond?
I mean, I think he's a little better than Lucas Raymond. I think Stützle is on the level of Dylan Larkin. And so I think
Raymond's better than Larkin.
No, not yet. Not yet. I mean, can he be better? Maybe. Larkin does too many things. That's why. But yeah, I think Lucas Raymond.
Larkin's also got a ceiling, though. You know, like that's. Like, I don't think Larkin's ever going to be anything more than what he is today. That's, you know, I love him to death, but I just, you know, he's. To me, he's more of he is what he is kind of a guy. Raymond is still on the growth curve. I think Stützle is as well. These are very interesting teams and certainly.
Yeah, I mean, Moritz, you can make an argument like Moritz Seider and Sanderson are close, but the difference is that the Ottawa guys are more like a year ahead.
Okay.
And just because they're a little, you know, like, yeah, Raymond had 80 points, so he's right there with Stützle, but Stützle is a center.
So they have anybody that's a year ahead of Pat Kane?
Nobody's a year ahead of Patrick Kane because he's close to washed up.
Not quite, though.
Yeah, but he's close. But the thing with Lucas Raymond is he's not a center, and that's where I put Stützle just a little ahead of him. But I love Lucas Raymond. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
So.
Oh yeah.
But I'm looking at him, and you know, DeBrincat's a terrific player. Larkin's great. Kane, 59 points. Okay, that's pretty good. Will he even get that this year? I don't know. Seider at 46 is okay.
Yeah,
but a little disappointing.
Should be more than what he is. Yeah.
Yeah. Casper was disappointing. They had a lot of guys that were a bit disappointing. I think Edmondson could be a little better. So I do like him. It's going to depend. And I've defended him for a while because he was in Anaheim when Anaheim just wasn't that good.
Right.
This is a year for John Gibson to stand up. If he really stands up, they'll be in this race. If he is on the way down, then they got a problem.
And also, too, in terms of guys that can be a difference maker, and this surprises me for how much of a splash he made when he came to town. And I don't think I'd classify anything with him as disappointing. We haven't even talked about Al DeBrincat yet. I mean, that's
no,
a guy.
I mentioned him. No, no.
Oh,
I
did love... you? Okay. Yeah, that, yeah, it went right past me when you did. Okay.
You slept through
all right.
That.
Okay. Yeah.
I just said, no, I love Alex DeBrincat. I saw he had 70 points. I think 70 points is about what he'll get.
Okay.
Most years. And that's really good. No, no. I like Alex DeBrincat.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. So, I mean,
I would never say anything bad.
It's no, no, no. I'm not saying that you would, but I'm just saying that, like, you know, it is going to, boy, the games between these teams are going to be very consequential this year. I will be paying very close attention to
it. Yeah. They're going to be, I mean, these Atlantic games are going to be a big deal. I mean, better than the Metro. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Well, I've been, and I got to find out what this new deal is. I've been having ESPN Plus almost exclusively so I could watch Wings games. And it's like, right. Now that that's going away, I got to figure out what the format is. But yeah, those games are going to definitely be worth checking out here. The Metro Division with your Rangers, who were, again, one of the big plummeting stock teams of the previous season.
I still think they are. Yeah.
I've got them basically at the periphery of the playoffs. I think they can still make it. There's a lot of people that are saying that it's Carolina's year, that this is the year that they can kind of break through. They did make some moves in the course of the offseason. Washington, I had a feeling they weren't quite as good as they looked during the regular season. That kind of played out. I'm the hipster that always keeps saying it's New Jersey's year, and it never really turns out to be.
Well, I mean, if Jack stays healthy, it could be.
Yeah,
not to win it all, but I think to be much better because they have Markstrom. They have guys that are there. Luke Hughes, if he signs, Luke Hughes being unsigned is a big deal. But yeah, now you're telling me that the Rangers are going to be better than either the Hurricanes or the Devils, and even the Blue Jackets, who I think have a real good chance of getting in that third spot, because I don't think any of those teams are getting a wild card. And so I think it's three spots and that's it.
I've got the Rangers eking in because I've got it being 4-4 with the two divisions here.
I don't see it.
I've got them ahead still at this point of Columbus, the Islanders, Philadelphia, and certainly Pittsburgh. Yeah, you don't think they're ahead of all four of those teams?
Not Columbus. I don't think they're ahead of Columbus. No, I think Columbus will surprise this year. They have a lot of young guys that are doing great. Adam Fantilli is a star in the making. I think the problem with the Rangers is they have a decent top three on defense. After that, it's not great. Shesterkin can hide a lot of ills, but he can only do it for so long. I also think that Mika Zibanejad, now that they're not using him at center and he's a top-line winger, yeah, okay. I mean, it gives you a great top line, but it weakens you down the middle. And I think their bottom six is not the best. And so I think Columbus actually has a little bit more of a balanced lineup than the Rangers do.
Well, and that's
but not better goaltending, and that could be a difference for sure.
Yeah, it could be. It could be. And, you know, in terms of, you know, how this goes, there's a line that I like to use across different sports here. And taking the whole thing of that old geopolitical line about Brazil, it's the country of the future and it always will be. I mean, I'm sorry if this is too soon, but you know, good old Alexis Lafreniere, you know, the forward of the future and always will be, right?
No, but he's changed the way he plays. So if he can get 50 points, he forechecks really well. He's, you know, not a superstar, but he's a really good player who plays a heavy game, who still has a really good shot. And so I think he's a different player now. So I do think he could be really effective and still one of their, you know, five best players.
Okay. And that's one of those things where, yeah, I've got them as being a team that is just sort of on the margins of the playoff picture, but making it in there.
And we also have to remember this.
Uh-huh.
Lafreniere still is only 23. So I think if he's going to have, like, back to that 57 or even a 60-point year, this might be the year.
Could be, yeah. I mean, it's possible, yeah. And at 23, there is still the chance of breaking out. As I'm about to get to this next division, did I hear you correctly when you said you thought that the Atlantic was probably the toughest division?
Yes.
Okay, this is where I will differ with you respectfully. Okay. I'm going to say the Central. I mean, the Central is just a murderer's row to me. I've got Dallas winning the division here, but I've got Colorado right on their heels. Winnipeg, who, again, much like Washington, both of the W teams here last year, you knew in the regular season they weren't quite as good as they were looking, but, you know, it was a darn good team still. Minnesota, I'm hearing a lot of hipsters out there that are saying it's the Wild's year to make a
leap. Is it going
to
be the Wild's year if they can't get Kaprizov signed? I don't know, because if he's not signed, I think they're going to trade him at the deadline, regardless of where they are in the playoff thing picture, because they can't let him walk.
I mean, that's wow. That's a Luka Doncic situation right there.
Yeah.
Like you better get like 10 number ones and all kinds of your
trade. Yeah, but I mean, like what's their, you know, right now it doesn't look like they can get him signed.
Yeah.
They negotiated with him. So what are you going to do? You're going to let him walk? They can't, that team doesn't have the assets they can afford to let him walk.
Steve Yzerman, white courtesy phone. Steve Yzerman, white courtesy phone. Yeah. We should be so lucky. But, I mean, and I haven't even gotten to St. Louis, which much like Montreal
Ottawa. They're mid at this point. St. Louis is a mid team.
Yeah, they did rise up and make the playoffs last year. And again, a team at this point in time where I will take my hat off to them that, you know, going through, you know, the rebuild that was necessary, because that Stanley Cup that they had came very late in their whole run. Because, you know, you look at the course of the 2010s and like the great choking franchises in hockey were Washington, but they won it in 18, St. Louis, but they eventually won it in 19. San Jose never did. They dumped in the finals to Pittsburgh in 16, I think. So
I covered that one. They're never gonna win a final. Not for a
while.
They
will. At this point.
They have the young guys to do it now, but it's still gonna take 2-3 more years to even be close to that.
But this is where I take my hat off to them, is that, you know, St. Louis, and that, you know, you would know better than me because nobody knows more about hockey than you, but like Robert Thomas arguably as sort of the centerpiece going forward.
Oh, sure. Like, Robert Thomas is terrific. Yeah.
Okay. Like, I take my hat off to them that, like, they're not there yet.
They have some nice players.
But, like, I cannot help but painfully compare and contrast this to my Red Wings rebuilding after a successful run. And then Pittsburgh, my best friend is a Penguins fan, and I've said to him, look forward to your decade in the hole just like we've had, because you guys, like us, tried to hang on for too long. St. Louis working their way back to even the periphery at this point, very, very admirable, I think, work that they have done to get to that point. I don't have them as a playoff team this year either. I don't have Utah as a playoff team.
I think Utah is going to push some of the other teams because I think Logan Cooley is close to being like that 80-point guy. And
okay.
I don't think a lot of people realize Clayton Keller had 90 points last year. I don't think people realized it because he was playing in Utah and the team was like up and down. But they're a better team now because their young players are getting better. Dylan Gunther had 27 goals. I don't think people realized he had 27, and he's a tremendous goal scorer, like a young goal scorer. He could get more. Nick Schmaltz, one of the most underrated players in the league. I mean, Gunther's only 22. So they have these young horses. They need to get better goaltending, and if they do – they could be a problem. But again, I think the Wild could run into trouble with this whole contract thing. I think the Avalanche are on the way down, like not to the point where they're not making the playoffs, but to the point where they're going to struggle more than I think people are used to, because they have run dry on prospects. They've been patching up the lineup for years. They're probably going to try and get Sidney Crosby at some point if he ever wants to go, because MacKinnon might be able to lure him there, and that might save him. Ever since losing Rantanen, they've not been the same team.
They're so shameless. Are they going to retire his number like they did with Ray Bourque? That's one of the worst
things. I don't want to go there. Before. That's old news, man. You're not going there. You can't beat me.
I will co-sign everything you said about Utah. I don't think anybody outside of Clayton Keller's immediate family knows he scored 90 points last year. So I would agree with everything you said there. Chicago is at the bottom, mired in irrelevance at this point.
And yeah.
the other team we haven't talked about in the division is Nashville, who a year ago, boy, me and so many other people so wrong about them.
Nashville's going through a rebuild, whether they want to admit it or not.
Yeah. Yeah, just
they're doing it. They just haven't admitted it.
Yeah, I mean that was the plummet that nobody saw coming. I won't speak for you, but I sure
no,
didn't.
I saw it coming. I called them a bubble team. I did not.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah, no, I thought they
I didn't
were
remember
a
what you
team.
Said. Good for
yeah.
you, because you were close.
I didn't
to
say
the
they weren't going to definitely miss. I just said, yeah. Hey, I think they're a bubble team. I think they have some problems.
Very interesting. Yeah, because they seem poised to build on what
now,
they
might
done.
Make another mistake, Nashville, because Brady Martin's scoring. Maybe they're going to play him as an 18-year-old in the NHL. I think that's a mistake. But they might force it. Like, you know, Barry Trotz is running a little roughshod there, trying to show that last year was a fluke. But, you know, they got some aging players. So we'll see.
Yeah. It's a tough situation for them. And then you look at the Pacific Division, and that's where
division.
There's a lot of intrigue there, because at the top of the division, you have the teams that have repped in the Stanley Cup final the last couple of years, Vegas and Edmonton.
Now controversy with Vegas, because there's talk they may get two of the former Hockey Canada guys, and one of them being Carter Hart. Uh-huh. And this is now starting to be a bit controversial. People could read online why. I'm not going to get into all of it.
Okay.
If Carter Hart goes there, yeah. I mean, he was a really good goalie a few years ago. He hasn't played in a couple of years. I don't know how quickly he'll get it back.
Right.
But in a month, could he get it back to the point where he makes them more dangerous? Yeah, than Aiden Hill? Sure. I mean,
okay.
I think that's a possibility. So with that and Mitch Marner, it's hard to see them having much of a fall here. You know, the Kings are the Kings. I think they overachieved last year, but I still think they're a playoff team. Oilers will make it, but I don't know. I mean, I'm still going to question their goaltending. I like the Flames. I like the Flames to possibly upset somebody if Dustin Wolf has a Vezina-type year, because he basically was tremendous last year. I think, you know, I think we're talking about something, so we'll see.
Okay, yeah. And I think, again, you know, in this division, I think Mitch Marner being in Vegas, I think that ultimately makes a difference there. I have them as the division winners, but Edmonton right on their heels. I continue to think that they might be able to squeeze something out of the Rhein in Calgary. I have them as a playoff team.
No, I think it's you know, Dustin Wolf could be the X factor there. Plus they have a bunch of young players. Matt Coronato keeps getting better. So they have a bunch of young players that are starting to step up, but Wolf, young goalie, one of the best young goalies in the league, may soon be one of the best goalies in the league. And the other issue thing about Dustin Wolf is he's an American. So like Bill Guerin not committing to who's going to be Olympic goaltenders. I know everybody says, well, you know, the Americans are stacked, and well, they're really stacked because Dustin Wolf's one of them too. And who knows?
Yeah. So you've got that. LA, I see them making the playoffs again. I was surprised that they didn't get past Edmonton last year. I thought that might be.
I know
you weren't, but I was. They continue to progress. They continue to keep getting better.
But I picked Edmonton. I want to be clear about that. But I wasn't surprised that Edmonton won. I just thought maybe the Kings were going to show me something. So like after it happened, I was like, yeah, I'm not surprised. And that's why I think they're going to be on their way down. But I picked the Kings, and then I picked Edmonton every other round. So I want to be clear about that. I was not some sort of genius that picked the Kings.
Okay, yeah, because I just really thought that
the Oilers. They picked the Oilers, yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be the Kings showing me something, too. I thought it was going to be a statement win for them that they ended up not getting.
Yeah.
The rest of the division I see being decently behind the top four teams. I've got it in this order: Vancouver, Seattle, Anaheim, San Jose.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, you could swap out possibly Seattle and San Jose. I don't know what Seattle is anymore. I think the Ducks are moving up. I think the Ducks might push for a playoff spot with Joel Quenneville and a bunch of young guys. The Canucks could do something if Thatcher Demko is healthy. If he's not healthy, they're not doing anything.
That's right. Yeah. So those are some of the contingencies in that division. I know going through, I know when we do our preseason picks here, you more so.
Are we going to talk about, we're not going to talk about the Detroit Tigers blowing a 15 game lead over the Cleveland Guardians?
How about that? Yeah.
I mean, this is stunning. I mean, I don't know if I've seen a choke this bad. I mean, and that's coming from a Mets fan. Like, this is unbelievable.
And look at who they're doing it to. Because it's one of those things where I know that things have trended up a little bit recently, but historically bad offensive metrics for my tribe until very, very recently here. I mean, a lineup of slappies up and down the line here.
Yeah.
That it's only – Yeah, and that it's been only the
Detroit's most, like worried now. They had a 15 game lead.
Yeah, and well, and they're behind on the tiebreaker. So right. Even though as we're taping this, they're tied for first place, but that means that there's an edge there, and that both of them have a game above Houston, and I think both of them have the tiebreaker over Houston.
Here's what doesn't make sense. You may be right, and Houston's on the outside looking in. Mm-hmm. The Troy Tigers are plus 68 on differentials. The Guardians are a minus 4.
Yeah, this is what I'm saying.
None of this makes sense.
Yeah, the pitching here, and I will say, as somebody who has Gavin Williams in a long-term keeper league and is cashing a nice fat check this year, I didn't win this league, but it's a lucrative league, and I cashed. Gavin Williams is a big part of the reason I was able to do that.
Good for you.
So, I mean, he's finally become an ace.
I have Lindor in another league, so.
Okay. Know. Yeah, and that's where, the difference is I got Gavin Williams for a buck for 10 years a couple of years ago. Yeah. So that's
pretty good. Lindor cost me, for sure.
Yeah, Lindor is at the stage of his career he's going to cost you, and that's where it really is a thing. Yeah,
He went 30-30, which was nice. I didn't know if he could do that again.
Yeah, but like here's the thing though, like the way that baseball is these days, I mean, there's every possibility, I think, in looking at it here, these teams could end up playing each other in the first round. So it's one of those things where normally throughout the course of baseball history, any kind of epic collapse like that, we remember the 64 Phillies, we remember right. These type of things, but it's like, it could just as easily be a thing of like Detroit sweeps 2-0 next week, and this is all...
But sure, because they have horses as starters, and... And
that's what's wrong about baseball right now is that like with the format of
banana
ball
better though, right? Okay.
These things, but these things become a footnote the way that they have expanded and overexpanded.
Sure,
but
the regular season still means something. Like teams don't luck into the playoffs. Sometimes they have a charge like this, like the Guardians, but for the most part, teams don't luck into the playoffs. 162 games. It's hard to be lucky.
Yeah. Well, this team has been, you know, pretty lucky through the course of this thing. I remember being at a game earlier this summer and seeing that Austin Hedges was playing in that game and he was batting at the time. And then this was after a couple outs, but later in the game. But nevertheless, you should not be within a few outs in a game of being with a batting average of 104.
I mean,
I'm like, this guy has the same batting average as our Chick Rock radio station in town here. Like,
Or is Willie Mays Hayes?
Yeah. So, I mean, all the slappies on the tribe here, that's a thing of like where most of this is on Detroit being a bunch of choking idiots as opposed to anything that the tribe's really doing. Although
they still have to win, Rick, and they're winning.
The pitching has been outstanding, particularly the starting pitching.
They're 8-2 Williams, and Detroit's 2-8. That matters.
Gavin Williams, Tanner Bibee, like the pitching has really, really been strong. And that's with a couple of these guys getting thrown out, probably for life, probably shades of the 1919 Black Sox.
Oh, like, yeah.
First pitch of the inning needs to be a ball. Let me put this one in the upper mezzanine. You know? So how do these guys think they're not going to get caught with that crap, Russ?
Yeah, I don't know. And he's suspended indefinitely, right?
Ortiz and Class A.
Right, and they have never said when they're ever coming back.
Yeah, I don't think they ever.
It's weird how they've not said anything, though. They should say something.
Yeah, and that's what's remarkable.
They might have to when the playoffs start. The league may have to say something.
Sure, and that as far as
because we can't say they're guilty fully of something until the league says what it is. They've never really. They just said suspicion of, right, and they pulled them.
Well, and again, it's the league's fault as much as anybody's, because throughout the course of history, it's always been gambling is wrong, gambling is wrong, gambling is wrong. And then now they're taking money from everybody and they're as responsible as anybody is for all these stupid prop bets blowing up.
Yeah, I think they just need to be clear about what these guys did. I think because it's still fuzzy to me.
And that's where it's kind of even more remarkable as far as it goes with the tribe, because somebody like Cade Smith, who people looked at him like, oh, if anything ever happens with Class A, like he's one of the best non-closer relievers in baseball, except as it's kind of coming out, the guy doesn't necessarily have the temperament to close as we've seen. Maybe he'll grow into it more. Maybe I'm being a little bit unfair, but it doesn't seem like he's got the closer's mentality. He's more got the eighth inning mentality, but... You know, yeah, I mean, they've been doing a superlative job, and certainly I will be interested in seeing how this weekend plays out. As far as how the NHL season plays out. I know traditionally at this point, you're not really making the hard and fast predictions. No. I will. I'll make them, and then sure, you can kind of react to them here. So, all right. So I'm just going to jump to the conference semis because, again, in Fantasy Hockey Draftology 2025, available on the main page of fantasydrafthelp.com. I had Florida winning the Atlantic. That was before some of the injury situation. Okay. The injury picture was not as clear. But I'm still saying it will be Tampa and Florida in the divisional finals, the conference semifinals. I'm going to say Tampa over Florida in that one in seven games. In the conference semifinals for the Metro Division final, I'm going to say New Jersey over Carolina in six games.
All right.
Looking at the Central Division, I'm going to say Dallas over Colorado in six games. And in the Pacific Division, because I am going to have L.A. pulling the win on Edmonton this year, it's going to be Vegas over L.A. in six games. So my conference finals. In the East, I've got Tampa Bay over New Jersey in six. And in this is going to seem very, very familiar, unfortunately, for us, for Stars fans, Vegas over Dallas in seven. So once again, Dallas makes it to the doorstep, doesn't get past. Stanley Cup final, Vegas over Tampa Bay in seven. Mitch Marner will get to do the Stanley Cup parade down the strip. That's how I see it.
It's possible for Vegas. There's no chance Tampa is in the Stanley Cup.
You don't think they're going to make it that far? Okay. No. All right. All right. So that's where, as we covered before, none of these injuries preclude Florida from making another strong run. So they're going to be in the mix. And if anything, this works.
If Florida's in the mix, they'll be in the conference final.
Okay. And that's what I think. This might actually be beneficial in a way, if you could say it that way, in terms of the whole thing of like the three springs in a row of playing deep into June.
Sure.
This mitigates a bit.
This is taking its toll, but still they have one of the best goalies. They have a lot. They know how to win. And if Marchand could dial it back a little, they may be able to hang in there. That's all they have to do is hang in there.
You seem pretty convinced it won't be Tampa. I'm looking at the number of teams here who could dislodge them. You've got Florida. You must be a really big believer in Carolina then, because
they're a little bit of a believer, but I don't love their goaltending, but I think they can go a few rounds. And I think, I think, you know, they could surprise a team like Tampa. I think the Leafs maybe go two rounds. I don't know if they can go more than that. I think, you know, that's kind of like where my headspace is. Okay. But as far as in the East, I really think Carolina is better than Tampa. I do.
Okay. What if it's Toronto and Vegas in the final?
People in Toronto would go crazy over that.
Yeah. Yeah. It would be
unbelievable. The satire in that.
That would be so immense.
It'd be chef's kiss, man.
It really would be. I could think of nothing better than that, but
that's it.
So that's our preview for the year. We'll be, of course, taking a look at it here as the season goes along. We'll be doing a little bit of Olympic hockey stuff, a little bit of a preview on that, the Epic tournament that's coming up. I actually have an idea I want to pitch you off air about that. Okay. But we'll be looking at the hockey landscape as we go along here. Always a privilege and a pleasure, my great friend, the great FDH Lounge dignitary, Russ Cohen, proprietor of Sportsology, 11-time author. Thank you so much, as always, my man.
Thanks, Rick.
Appreciate it, Russ. Thank you. And everybody, thanks a lot for checking out FDH Lounge mini episode 1868.